Good morning. My name's Don. I'm one of the pastors here at First Church. Before we start the sermon, I wanted to make an announcement. Nothing to do with the sermon, but everything to do with the sermon. About a week ago, John mentioned that our friend Chuck Welker had a stroke. Chuck Welker was here this morning at church. That's a miracle. That's amazing. I don't think he was here earlier, but I think he left, but he can hear our clapping anyway, so that was just, that's good news. Guys, thank you for the skit. Now I don't have to preach, we can just pray and go home. I heard that. Okay, let's do that. Okay, we're speaking today, or I'm speaking today, you're listening, I'm speaking on forgiveness and grace, and as I was starting to prepare this, I realized something in the alphabet. There's the part of the alphabet, and look at that. Right in the middle, we have F and G, and that's forgiveness and grace. So I hope you guys are impressed that I came up with that. So let's start with, what's it like to receive grace? There were two men that were traveling to the South. They've not been to the South before, and it was early morning, and they stopped for breakfast. The one man said, I just want coffee, and the other man ordered scrambled eggs and wheat toast. And the waitress came over and gave the one gentleman his cup of coffee, and to the other man, he gave scrambled eggs, wheat toast, and this white mushy stuff. And she walked away, and he called the waitress back, and he said, this is not my breakfast. I ordered scrambled eggs and wheat toast and not this white mushy stuff. And she said, you're in the South, and then there are grits. And he said, I didn't order it, I'm not going to pay for it, period. And she said, in the South, you don't order it, you don't pay for it, you just get it. You know, that's exactly what God's grace is. We get it, okay? So we like to receive God's grace. But what about giving it away? There was a man one time, a long time ago, that loved dogs. Just loved dogs. He spoke for the SPCA. He rescued dogs. He fed stray dogs. He had a dog. Just loved dogs. And he realized one day that his sidewalk from his house to the street really needed repair. In fact, it needed a brand new sidewalk. And so he, very handy, he put a new sidewalk in by himself. And he just finished smoothing out the concrete, and the dog walked through the concrete. And so he smoothed out the concrete, and he thought, you know, I'll go into the house, get some twine, and put around the pavement. And so he went in the house, got the twine, came walking out, and saw the dog walking through the concrete. And so he put the twine up and went back in the house and saw the dog walking around the twine and walking in the concrete. So he went and smoothed out the concrete, and he thought, you know what, I'll put a fence up. So he put a fence up around the concrete after he smoothed it out, and he went in and sat in the porch and looked and saw the dog jump over the fence and walk through the concrete. So he went out to the pavement and smoothed out the concrete one more time, and he went back and sat in the porch and saw the dog again jump over the fence and walk through the concrete. So he went down and smoothed out the concrete, went back in the house and got the gun and saw the dog again walk through the concrete, and he shot the dog. And his neighbor came out and said, what are you doing? You love dogs. What are you doing? And the man said, you know, I guess what it is I love dogs in the abstract, but I don't like them in the concrete. Thank you. You know, we love to receive, to get forgiveness and grace. But when we need to give it away, we don't like to, because it's more or less in the concrete. We don't like to do it that way. You see, in every friendship, in every relationship, in every marriage, mistakes occur. Lies are spoken. Tensions reach a boiling point. Truth is severed. Trust is severed. Because simply put, we are imperfect people. And we have great difficulty granting forgiveness and grace. A marriage relationship, let alone any relationship, is not based on the standard of perfection. It's based on the ability to ask for forgiveness and grace, and a willingness to offer forgiveness and grace. If you desire any relationship you have, whether it's with a spouse, a friend, a family member, it doesn't matter. If you desire this relationship to last a lifetime, you need to get into the habit of giving grace and forgiveness away. You see, forgiveness and grace cost a lot, and it's not easy. Look at the verse in Proverbs, great verse. It says, a brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like barred gates of a citadel. It's a great verse. It really is. You see, forgiveness and grace is the one thing that's most enjoyed, and it's the one thing that's least employed. It's the one thing that's most enjoyed, and it's the least trait that's employed. Well, what would true forgiveness and grace look like to you? What would it look like? We need to look at Peter, and Peter's going to show us what this unlimited forgiveness and grace looks like. Because it was Peter, the night of the miracle of the fish, remember they didn't catch any fish. Jesus said, flip the nets on the other side, and they caught fish. And it was Peter who counted 153 fish, okay? That was Peter. He liked details. Now, he messed up so many times. We know probably about 7 times that he messed up, and he needed forgiveness and grace, but it was Peter that wanted to know, how many times do I have to forgive somebody else? Again, it's funny, the guy who needed this forgiveness and grace was so concerned about how many times he needs to forgive somebody else. I think he was trying to figure out this formula for grace. But let's be honest, all of us have roadblocks, have limits that keeps us away from giving away this forgiveness and grace, because we want this limit in our mind. There has to be a limit that after so many times, it now becomes unfair. Why do we have these limits? Why do we have these roadblocks? Because of one reason. Actually, it's 3 reasons, and they all begin with the letter R, and the first one is revenge. I will get that person back. Or maybe you go with the second R, which is resentment. I am going to stay mad at him. Or maybe it's the third R, which is remember. I will always remember what he did to me. Revenge, resentment, and remember. You see, Peter wants boundaries. He wants limits from Jesus. He wants to know. Well, what are we going to do? He wants to know that he's able and it's okay, and Jesus won't be upset with him if he says that's it. No more. You see, maybe another disciple didn't cook the correct meal that night. I don't know. Maybe one of the disciples didn't load the dishwasher properly. Or maybe one of the disciples borrowed his shirt and didn't have it dry cleaned. And Peter wants to know this answer about this forgiveness and grace thing. And so he asked Jesus, how many times do I have to do this? But before Jesus gets a chance to answer, Peter says, 7 times. Now, 2,000 years ago, roughly, the rabbi would say, you know, you need to offer this forgiveness and grace 3 times, and then the 4th time you can retaliate. So Peter, being a smart man, which is an oxymoron, isn't it? Smart man. Yeah. Guilty as charged. Peter, being a smart man, thinks, you know what? I'm really going to impress Jesus. I'm going to say 7. I'm going to double the 3 and add 1 for good measure, and Jesus is going to be so impressed with my answer. That's what's going to happen. You see, we get frustrated when we have to give this forgiveness and grace away the 2nd time somebody does something to us. But again, Peter wants a number. And of course, as only Jesus can do, he does the unexpected. You want a number, Peter? Peter said, yeah, I want a number. Jesus says, 7 times 70. And Peter gets out his calculator and he goes, wait a minute, that's 490 times. And Jesus says, yeah. You know, working on this sermon this week, I forgot to do something for Debbie, believe it or not, or I made a mistake or I don't know, something. And, you know, having this fresh in my mind about this 7x70 thing, I just said, you know, Debbie, you being a Christian and knowing the Bible, you really have to forgive me 7x70. And she said, you passed that a long time ago. She knows me. You know what 7x70 means? It means no limit. Because if you really counted, by the time you got to 20 or 30, you'd be in the habit of giving out this forgiveness and grace, and it would be natural. That's what Jesus means by 7x70. You know, my patients that I have in my office that are married couples, I tell them, do not keep score. Don't keep score of wrongs. That's not good to do. Now, if we're playing a game, we keep score. When the Ravens play the Steelers, I'm very thankful. We keep score. It was great. Gee, guys are sound asleep. If we're playing tiddlywinks or whatever, we keep score. But in relationships, don't keep score because you've already lost. I don't know if you know, probably don't know this guy, Heinrich Heine, a German philosopher in the 1700s. Probably some of you know this man. And this is what he says to God one time. Now, God, I'm a simple man. All I want, I'm a very humble man, God. All I want is a small little cottage and a wooden bed and some bread to eat. And God, if you could, just a couple flowers and a tree in the yard. That's all I want, God. And I'm thinking, man, this man's a humble man. And then he adds something. But he says, you know, God, if you really, really want to make me happy, on that tree out there in the yard, I want you to hang all my enemies on the tree. Now, I will give them forgiveness after they're hung. So what do we do with this forgiveness and grace thing? Well, you know what, who we are? We're the servant in the Bible who was forgiven the $25 million debt, but wanted the man in prison who owed him $5 and couldn't pay it. You see, the people that wrong us, we want them to suffer, and we want them to hurt as much as we hurt. You know, without even our knowledge, we also put people in prison. How do we do that? Well, we give them the silent treatment. Or we avoid them at all costs. Or a verbal assault on them is what we do. Now, I have to ask you, are you holding anyone in prison this morning? And if you don't, if you have people in prison and you don't release them, you're in prison. Because you're in the prison of anger and bitterness and frustration. And those things can result in headaches and ulcers and high blood pressure. You know, there were two men that knew each other all their lives, and they constantly were fighting. And the one man was on his deathbed. And he thought, I need to forgive this other guy. And so he called the man and said, would you please come to my house? As he was on his deathbed, he couldn't even get up. And the man was a little leery of this, but he thought, okay, I'll do that. And he came over to his house, and the man in the deathbed said, I am truly sorry for what I've done to you all your life. And I would really like forgiveness. And the man standing there just started crying because they had this long fight their whole life. And the gentleman laying in bed started crying. And the gentleman standing said, you know what, I do forgive you. Please forgive me. And they just hugged. And the man on his deathbed said, if I get better, this doesn't count. So what does forgiveness and grace look like? This is what it looks like. You meet somebody for the very, very first time. Never met them before, ever. And you know what you bring? This is what you bring. You don't bring any baggage. You have no history. The slate is clean. There are no grudges whatsoever. That's what forgiveness and grace looks like. But we're the unforgiving servant in the Bible. That's what we're like. But we stand there in front of God with our sins piled up as high as Mount Everest. And what does God do? Sends Jesus. And Jesus pays our debt and releases us from everything. That's what forgiveness and grace looks like. I know you've heard of C.S. Lewis. He has a great quote. He says, to be a Christian means to forgive the unexcusable because God has forgiven the unexcusable in you. Here's a verse out of Colossians. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Are there ever verses in the Bible you wish weren't in the Bible? I love that part about Lord forgave me. I love that part. But then he also has to add, you must forgive others. And that's what it's all about. We need to forgive others. You know, somebody that works very, very hard earns a wage. And somebody that competes in something might win a prize. And somebody that is employed by a certain company for many, many years gets the proverbial gold watch. He gets an award. But what about the person that can't earn a wage or never competed and won a trophy or never won a prize or never won an award? What does that person get? God's grace. That's what he gets. You know, there was this man one time who was very, very, very well-to-do. And he knew this pastor who was very, very poor. Believe it or not, a poor pastor. And what he decided to do was he decided he would give this pastor money, cash. But he didn't want him to know who it was. And so he simply put cash in an envelope and put a note with the cash. And the note had three words on it. And the note said, more to follow. And every so often, he would give this poor pastor an envelope. He'd make sure he would get it, cash in it, the same note, three words, more to follow. And because of way back when, there was you actually earned interest, believe it or not. Anybody remember where you earned interest when you put money in the bank? You actually did that, you know? It was an amazing concept. But anyway, because of the interest, it just kept compounding, and he was able to just keep giving this pastor cash in an envelope with the same note, more to follow. You know, when God gives us forgiveness, he also gives us a note with four words. And you know what the note says? Much more to follow. Much more to follow. And when God justifies us, he includes a note, and it says four words, much more to follow. And when God makes us righteous, he includes a note, And the note has four words in it, and it says, much more to follow. And when God gives us grace, he includes a note that says, much more to follow. And when we imagine heaven, God smiles and says to us, much more to follow. You see, it's written, it is written that we're saved by grace. It is written that we stand by grace. It is written we serve through grace, and it is written that we're sustained by grace. Stand, saved, serve, sustained, all because of God's grace. Look at this video that I want to show you.
What if God told you who you are?
That in him there is no condemnation.
No judgment.
No rejection.
What if God told you that he loves you?
And that he will never stop loving you?
What if God told you
that he doesn't keep a log of past offenses?
Of how little you pray?
Or how often you've disappointed him?
What if he told you that you are righteous?
Because of his righteousness.
Right now.
What if he told you to stop beating yourself up?
That his grace for you abounds.
Even when you think the most horrible thoughts. Because you are already made in his image.
What if he told you that if you repent,
and if he's your savior, you're going to heaven?
No matter what.
What would your life look like then?
If you stop trying so hard.
And just let God live his life through you.
Grace.
Mercy.
Forgiveness.
Salvation.
Redemption. Through Jesus Christ.
Our Savior.
We are loved. We are saved.
Now let's live it like we know it.
I hope you heard that video. That's it right there. However, I have a feeling somebody in this room is worried about all this forgiveness and grace that God gives to other people. Other people that do these terrible, terrible things. And all this forgiveness and grace. And so you and I worry about this, but evidently Jesus did not worry about that. Because all we have to do is look at the story of the prodigal son. And what do we see there? Well, this is what we see. You know the story. What do we see? We see the young son getting a kiss rather than a kick in the pants. That's what we see. We see the young son getting a party rather than probation. We see the young son getting a hug rather than a hazing. And we see the young son getting a robe rather than retaliation. Now, the older brother, if we're honest, brings up all of our concerns. And he is angry because there's a party and he complains to his dad. And he says, Dad, you're lowering the standards. After all, there's music playing. There's a dead fatted calf over there and look who's wearing your robe. Seems like so many permissions just to do what you want to do. To break the law. And to that, Jesus has the dad say, cut that out. My son was lost, and now he's found. My son was dead. And now he's alive. And then the dad says, we're not playing good boys and bad boys anymore. The name of the game from now on is resurrection, not bookkeeping. You know, this morning, maybe you know somebody that simply does not deserve to get your forgiveness and grace. That's probably a true statement. But maybe in this room also, there's somebody that has never received God's forgiveness and grace. And today's a good day to receive it. It's free, as we said. There's no cost. You don't pay for it. You don't have to order it. You just get it. And it's free. And if you've never received it, today's the day to run into his arms. And as the video said, he loves you. You're made in his image. He loves you more than you can even imagine. You're created in his image. You're the crown of creation, the Bible says. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Today be a day. I would love to talk to you if you never received God's forgiveness and grace. Remember, not it's resurrection, not bookkeeping. We can be thankful. All of us are thankful that knows that. We're thankful that's resurrection and not bookkeeping. Let's pray. God, this morning, we are so very, very thankful for what you have done for us. We confess that we do not deserve it. We confess that we don't fully understand it many times. We confess that we dwell so many times on what people have done to us while we ignore what we've done to you. So today, God, as we all run into your arms, we ask, God, that you would help us to deliver us from the prison of resentment, of revenge, of remembering, and start living our lives as people who are not perfect, but through you and with you, we're white as snow. We pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.